This week's parsha is Parshas Vayetze, and we will start on chapter 25, pasuk number 10, right at the beginning of the parsha. The parsha starts, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shova. Yaakov went out of Be'er Shova, Vayelech Chorona, and he went to Choron. The second Rashi on this week's parsha asks a question: why does the Torah have to start the pasuk that Yaakov went out from Be'er Sheva? The pasuk should just start Vayelech Charona, that Yaakov went to Charon. The Mizrahi explains that last week's parsha on chapter 28, pasuk number 7, there it already mentions Vayishma Yaakov el Aviv el Imoy. Yaakov listened to his father and mother. Vayelech Padeno Aram, he went to Padan Aram. So the pasuk here, if the pasuk wants to restart the story of Yaakov, since it was interrupted by the story of Esav marrying the daughters of Ishmael, the pasuk should just start Vayelech Yaakov Charona, that Yaakov went to Charon. The same way as it says here that he went to Padan Aram, why does it say here Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava, that Yaakov left Be'er Shava? And the Tzitzis Chachom explains a little bit differently. He says that if it would be written just Vayelech Yaakov Choron, that Yaakov went to Choron, I would automatically know that he left Be'er Sheva, that he left the city where it was in. Why write down that Yaakov left the city of Be'er Sheva? Rashi answers that there is two going out. One is going out physically, and one is going out spiritually. And the Torah wants to stress that Yaakov didn't just go to Choron. He actually was felt spiritually his coming out of Be'er Sheva. Rashi says, "Sheyetzias tzadik min hamokom, when a tzadik leaves a place, oyse roishom, it makes an impression on that place. Shabizman ha-tzadik ba'ir, while the tzadik is in town, hu hoida, the tzadik is its magnificence." We'll explain soon from the Maharal what really hoida means. Hu ziva, the tzaddik is the radiance of the place. Hu hadara, is the grandeur of the city. Yatzo misham, once the tzaddik goes out of there, pana hoida, the magnificence of the city is gone. Pana ziva, the radiance of the city is gone. Pana hadara, and the grandeur of the city is gone. The Maharal explains that these three expressions, hoida, ziva, hadara, the Maharal explains that hoida is not the way we translate it, that hoida means magnificence. Hoida is from the word hoidu l'Hashem kitoiv, that we should praise to Hashem, from the language tzrichim lehoidois, that we have to praise. And he explains that when a tzaddik is in town, the tzaddik teaches people yirat shamayim, awe and fear of heaven. And because of that, people perform the mitzvahs, the positive mitzvahs and the negative mitzvahs. And since it's written by Eishes Chayil, we say every Shabbos, Isha, Yiras Hashem, Hiti Salol, that the only thing worthy of praise is really the fear of Hashem. So when a tzaddik is in town, he makes the people be praiseworthy because he teaches Yiras Hashem, fear of heaven. So when the tzaddik leaves, then the hoido, the praise of the city lives, because now the city lacks Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Hashem. The same thing he explains, the next one, Ziva, which is radiance, and he explains it with the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav, Omet Aleph. There the Gemara is talking about Yesh Mazel Yisrael, Ein Mazel Yisrael, if Jewish people are under the auspices of astrology or not. The Gemara there says, Ksiv apinka said Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It was written in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi ledger. Hay man bechad b'shaba. If a person was born on a Sunday, the first day of the week, yehi gvar v'loy chada. He'll be a man of one nature, that either he'll be totally good or totally bad. Rashi explains that since Sunday is the beginning of the week, so this person is going to be a leader either for the good or for the bad. The Gemara continues, Hay man de betrei b'shaba, if a person was born on Monday, the second day of the week, yihi gvar ragzon, he's going to be a person that is angry. Maitame, why? Mishim de plige be maya, because the waters were split on Wednesday, the second day of creation. Hashem split the waters on Bereishis chapter 1, pasuk number 6 and 7. There Hashem divided the waters, so a person that is born on Monday will be a divisive person. Haiman de betlasa b'shaba, a person that is born on Tuesday, Yehi gvar atir, will be a very wealthy person, Vezana Yehei, and he'll be promiscuous. Maitame, why? Mishim de ibre be'asovim, because Hashem created the vegetables on the third day, on Tuesday. Hashem says, let the earth fill with herbage, and then herbage will sprout and grow very quickly, which means that the person become wealthy, and also because they multiply so quickly, that means that he'll be a person that will have desires to multiply. Haiman de barba b'shaba, and that's what we're going to talk about, the person that is born on a Wednesday, Yigvar Hakim v'Nohir, will be a wise person and a radiant person. And Rashi, on the word v'Nohir, Rashi adds v'Nohir zivosom, that his looks will be radiant. My Tama, the Gemara explains why a person that is born on Wednesday will be radiant. Mishim de itle be me'oiro, is because the luminaries were set in place, the lights were set in place. And how is that connected to wisdom? Proverbs chapter 6, pasuk number 23 brings down kiner mitzvah, that a candle is a mitzvah, the Torah or, and Torah is light, is radiant. Therefore, a person who learns Torah will be radiant. So the Maharal explains that when Rashi is telling you here that a tzaddik is in town, the ziva of the tzaddik is there, the radiance of the tzaddik is there, is a radiance that comes through learning of Torah, the same way as the Gemara records there. And then the Maharal explains what is the word hadara that we translate as grandeur. The Maharal explains that hadara is really tiferes, and he explains that anybody who learns the midos toivos, the good proper behaviors that is written masechta zavos, and the right things to a person to behave, since it becomes tiferes loiseo, it becomes a splendor for the person who does it, and a splendor for Hashem. Therefore, he calls hadara, that means that person is totally beautiful, is beautiful for Hashem and beautiful for a person. That is hadara. A true tzaddik teaches his people proper behavior. When a tzaddik leaves, that teaching is gone, because you have nobody now to influence you, to guide you. Therefore, the tzaddik leaves, that hadara lives with him. That splendor lives with him. Sefer Yefei Toar, on his commentary on Medrash Rabbah, brings a little bit different interpretation on the word hadara, and he brings it based on the pasuk in Vayikra chapter 19, pasuk number 32, where the pasuk says, Mipnei seva tokum, in presence of an old person you should get up, v'hodarto pnei zaken, you should honor the presence of a sage. We see that the word hadara means honoring. He explains the same way as the Maharal explains, that if you behave in the proper way, where you honor people and you honor Hashem, that is hadara. And when the tzaddik leaves town, that teaching goes with him, and there is nobody else to teach now the people. Therefore, the tzaddik's exit makes an impression, and that's what the Torah is stressing, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava, that Yaakov, when he left Be'er Shava, he made a big impression. Then the Maharal asks a question, if that is true, that when the tzaddik leaves town, that he makes an impression, how come the Torah doesn't write this down on last week's parsha, where it's written that Yaakov went to Paddan Aram, that he went to Paddan Aram? Why isn't it written that Yaakov left Be'er Shava there and he went to Paddan Aram? The Maharal explains that since this week's parsha we see that Hashem talks to Yaakov, so this week's parsha is where we realize that Yaakov is a tzaddik. Therefore, in this week's parsha is where it's written Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava, that Yaakov leaves Be'er Shava. Last week's parsha wasn't clearly evident that Yaakov was a tzaddik yet, but in this week's parsha, since Hashem promises him in his dream, and Hashem has direct contact with him we see clearly that Yaakov was a tzaddik. Therefore, in this week's parsha, it wants to make an introduction that Vayetze Yaakov Miberishova, that when the tzaddik goes out of a town, then the whole town feels it. Then the Maharal asks a question. I understand that when a tzaddik leaves any town, that town loses out because now it creates a void by the tzaddik leaving, and then the splendor and the grandeur of the town are gone. But here, when Yaakov left the town, there was still Yitzchak there. Yitzchak was still alive, and Yitzchak was also a tzaddik. Then what do you mean that when the tzaddik leaves town, the splendor of the town and the glory of the town is gone, Yitzchak is still there? The Maharal answers that the Medrash asks a question already. The Medrash Rabbah 68, Siman 6, asks already the question, and there the Medrash answers in the name of Rabbi Azariah b'shem Rab Simon, Eina doma schusho shel tzadik echot li schusho shel shnei tzadikim, that the merits of one tzadik is much less than the merit of two tzadikim, that even though Yitzchak was still present, but Yitzchak and Yaakov were able to do wonders for that town, but once Yaakov is gone, then the town really feels the difference, because even though there's a tzaddik left, but when you have two tzaddikim, the influence and the splendor of the town is much greater. The Chasam Sofer asks a question. We know Avraham Avinu left many places, and yet in Avraham Avinu it's not written that Avraham Avinu went out of certain place. How come Avraham Avinu is only written that he went? Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik also, and we just mentioned when a tzaddik leaves town, then the glory of the town, everything leaves. Then every time Avraham Avinu went somewhere, it should be written that he left this place to go to that place. And yet, in all the psukim, it's written, for example, on chapter 12, pasuk number 3, says, Vayelech lemasov, he went according to his resting places. And when he decides to go to Olayne Mamre, on chapter 13, pasuk number 18, says, Vayel Avram moved his tent, Vayavoy, Vayeshev, Bolemamre, he came and he went to Olayne Mamre. It's not written that he left any space to go anywhere. It's just written where he went to. Obviously, Avraham Avinu was also a great tzaddik, and you're telling me now that the tzaddik leaves, the people of the town that you left feel that you left. How come by Avraham Avinu nobody felt? And it's not written there, Vayetze Avram, that Avram left from certain place. The Chasam Sofer answers that this is exactly the point, that since when Avraham Avinu left, he only left behind evil people, that the people that were in town when Avraham Avinu left, they were all evil, because Avraham Avinu was one light amongst all the world, and when he left, all the people that converted left with him. That means that the people that are left in town are all people that don't want to get close to monotheism, they don't want to know from one true God, then they are all evil, which probably at that situation they would probably say, good riddance for Avraham Avinu, that here we have this person who is trying to teach him to leave the other gods, and he is leaving, so probably people would say, we are happy that he left, and there was nobody left behind to fill the void of the holiness. There was no impression to be made on a person that is left behind. Because Rashi explains that when a tzaddik leaves the town, the tzaddik leaves an impression on the town that now the people feel the vacuum left by the tzaddik. But when Avraham Avinu left a town, there was nobody there to fill the vacuum on that town. Anybody that was anybody went with Avraham, like it says, Vesanefesh asher osu bechoron, the people that they made in Choron, and anybody left behind wasn't interested, so there was no vacuum in that town. Therefore, when Avraham Avinu left, it's not written Vayetze that Avraham Avinu left the town, but there was no impression left on that town. But here, the opposite, and now it answers also the question of the Medrash, that here, since when Yaakov left, there was still Yitzchak and Rivka behind, so there we have two tzaddikim behind left that could feel the absence of a third tzaddik, that you could feel the loss to the city, So that's why it's written here, Vayetze Yaakov, that even though Yitzchak is still a tzaddik and he is still there, but because Yitzchak now felt the loss once Yaakov was gone, that's what the Torah is telling you, Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Shava, that Yaakov's absence was felt in Be'er Shava, because even though there's a tzaddik left, and because there's a tzaddik left to fill it, the exit of a tzaddik makes an impression. The Beis Halevi in this week's Parsha also asks Rashi's question that if it's already written Vayelech Harona, that he left to Haran, automatically I know that Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Shava, that Yaakov left Be'er Shava. Why is it required to write me that Yaakov left Be'er Shava? The Beis Halevi explains that there is two kinds of going out. Certain times a person goes out because he needs to leave the place where he's in. And for a person like that, you'll tell him that the most important part of him going wasn't about going to the other place, was just the fact that he was able to leave the place that he was in. For example, a person living in Nazi Germany, he really didn't care where he went to. The most important part of this person's journey is that he was able to escape Nazi Germany. And certain times, a person wants to go to a different place. For example, a person that is making Aliyah to Eretz Israel, then we don't care where he's coming from, as long as he's making Aliyah, that is the most important thing for him, that he was able to get to the place that he wanted to get. And therefore, for him, the most important part of him going is not actually leaving the place where he was at, is actually going to the place that he's going to. And he explains that by Yaakov, both things are important, because Yaakov Avinu was following the mother's directive. The mother was afraid that Esav is going to kill Yaakov. Therefore, Rivka tells Yaakov, run away and go somewhere. So for Rivka, where he goes, it's not important as long as it leaves the place where he's at. So Esav could not take his revenge. That is what was important. And Yitzchak, since Yitzchak didn't know that Esav planned to take revenge, but Yitzchak really wanted just for Yaakov to get married. So for Yitzchak, it was only important for Yaakov to go somewhere to get married. Therefore, Yitzchak tells Yaakov to go to Haran to look for a wife by Lavan. The Beis Halevi explains that that's what the pasuk is saying. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava. Yaakov had to go away from Be'er Shava to follow the mother's directive because of a mitzvah of kibbut em, to respect of your mother. Therefore, Yaakov ran away from Be'er Shava. But Vayelech Harona, he went to Haran in the merit of his father, in order to do the mitzvah of kibbut av, because the father told him to go to Haran to get married. Therefore, he left Harona. So the pasuk has to write down, Vayetze Yaakov. Yaakov left because of what his mother told him. Vayelech Harona, because of what his father told him. Now we're going to give the answer of Nachal Kedumim. But before we do this, we have to introduce the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chof Tes Omed Beis. There the Gemara is discussing about our obligation to get married. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, Lilmoit Toira Velisa Isha. If a person has now to learn Torah, or he has an option to get married, then we tell you, Yilmoit Toira, you first should learn Torah, Vachakach Isa Isha, and then he should marry a wife. If he can't survive without a woman, then we tell you, Yisa Isha, he should first get married, Vachakach Yilmoy Torah, and then he should learn Torah. Omar Yudah Omar Shmuel, Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha, the halacha is, No Yisa Isha, a person should always get married first, Vachakach Yilmoy Torah, and then he should learn Torah. So Rav Yochanan asked a question, Rechaim betzavoroi veyasek betoira. He has a meal on his neck and you want him to learn Torah? He has to worry about parnasa and veyasek betoira, you want him to have enough mind to learn Torah? In other words, once he gets married, he has got financial responsibilities to support a wife. And if he has these financial responsibilities, how do you expect him to be able to concentrate in his learning when this burdens are on his head? Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that you first have to learn Torah and then get married. Because if you get married first, Then you have the financial obligations of the ketsuba that you require to support your wife. And since you are worried about the support of your wife, then either you have to take time off of learning to support your wife, or you cannot concentrate because of that burden that's on you. The Gemara answers, Veloy pliga, there's no machloikas. In other words, even though Shmuel says a person should first get married and then learn Torah, and Rabbi Yochanan says a person should technically first learn Torah and then get married, which they seem to be exactly opposite opinions, still there is no disagreement between them. Halon v'halahu. This is for them and this is for us. There's a machloikas, Rashi Tosfos, what really it means, this is for them and this is for us. But we are going to pick Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos, where Tosfos explains that since the people in Eretz Yisrael are very wealthy and they don't have to travel outside to learn Torah, automatically they don't have to worry about parnasa, about support of the wife, because they are so wealthy, then they could marry first and then learn Torah. Because by marrying first will not detract them from Torah learning. And in regard to them is what Shmuel says, that a person should first get married and then learn Torah. But in Babel, in Babylonia, people were very poor. And since they were so poor, if they would have married, then they would have the additional financial responsibility of supporting a wife. Then obviously they could not concentrate in Torah learning, or they would have to spend time working. On that, Rabbi Yochanan says that a person should first learn Torah and then get married. Because once you get married, you are required to support your wife. And if you're required to support your wife, then you cannot sit and learn Torah. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan told the people that are in Babel that they are required to learn Torah first and then marry a wife. Then again, if you are wealthy, you could marry first and then learn Torah. But if you are poor, then you're required to learn Torah first and then marry. Rashi on chapter 29, Pasuk number 11, where it says, Vaishak Yaakov l'Rachel, Yaakov kissed Rachel, Vaisar skoiloi. And he raised his voice, Vayev, and cried. Rashi is asking, why did he cry? Rashi, on the second answer, brings a very famous medrash. Rashi says, because he came with empty hands. Omari says, Eliezer Eved Aviaba, Eliezer, the slave of my grandfather, came and he had on his hands all kinds of gifts. He had nose rings, bracelets, and delicacies when he went to find a wife to Yitzchak. Vani, but me, Ein Beyadi Klum, I have nothing in my hands. That Yaakov Avinu was bemoaning the fact that he didn't have any money or any gifts to give to Rachel, where his father's slave had all kinds of gifts to give to his caller. Therefore, Yaakov was crying. So Rashi explains how come Yaakov Avinu came empty-handed, how come he doesn't have anything to give to Rachel. So Rashi brings a famous story that Yaakov was empty-handed because Eliphaz, the son of Esau, chased him at the command of his father to kill him. And Eliphaz was able to overtake Yaakov. And since Eliphaz grew up in the house of Yitzchak, Eliphaz didn't really want to kill Yaakov. But Eliphaz felt that he has no choice. He is required to keep the mitzvah of Kibbut Av V'em, that his father Esau told him to kill Yaakov. Eliphaz came to Yaakov with that problem, the technical problem. So Yaakov tells him that since the Gemara in Nedarim, Dav Samach Dalet Omed Bey 64b, brings down that four people, even though they are alive, they are considered as they are dead. And one of those people is somebody who is poor, which means that since a poor person is usually without influence, then whatever he says is inconsequential because people don't tend to listen to someone that is poor. Therefore, Yaakov tells Eliphaz that I have a good out for your dilemma that your father told you to kill me, and yet you know because you were born in the house of Yitzchak that that is not the right thing to do. Then we should do it in the legal way. You take away all my money, By you taking away all my money, I will technically be considered a poor person. And if I am considered a poor person, then I am technically also considered as I am dead. Then technically you have fulfilled your father's directive to kill me. Because since now you take all my money, I don't have anything left, and technically I am considered dead. We also know that Yaakov Avinu went to Yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever for 14 years. Like Rashi brings down on Pasuk 11, where it says, Vayishkev b'mokem ahu, that Yaakov Avinu lay down in that place. Rashi says, Be'oisem mokem shochav, only in that place he lay down. Avol yudalet shonim, sheshimesh be'beis ever lo shochav b'layla. That the 14 years that he went in the house of Ever, he did not lay down at night because he was learning Torah. And Rashi, last week's parsha, on chapter 28, pasuk number 9, Rashi there gives a whole chronology. How do we know really that Yaakov Avinu was 14 years in yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever? According to this, the Nechal Kadumim gives a beautiful interpretation. He says that Yaakov Avinu originally, when he left the house of Yitzchak, he was a very wealthy man, because Yitzchak gave him a lot of gifts to go to marry a woman, because it's impossible that Yitzchak was such a wealthy man, he would not give his son anything in order to betroth a wife. True, it could be that since he was running away, he decided not to take anything, but Yitzchak didn't know that Yaakov was running away. Obviously, Yitzchak was going to give him a dowry to give to his wife to marry her. So Yaakov originally was, since he was a wealthy man, and once a person is a wealthy man, we paskin that he first has to marry a woman and then learn Torah, then Yaakov Avinu was going right away to get married. That's why it's mentioned in last week's parsha that Yaakov listened to his father, his mother. Vayelech Padan Aram, he was right away getting ready to go to Padan Aram. But he was intercepted in the middle of the way. Eliphaz came in the middle of the way and took away all his money. Yaakov Avinu became now a poor person. And like we mentioned, the halacha is, if you are a poor person, you first are required to learn Torah for you to be able to learn Torah without any worries, and then you are required to marry. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu later, after his money was taken from him, decided to go back to Be'er Sheva and go to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever for 14 years to learn Torah. Because now that he's poor, he's required to learn first, and only after he finishes learning to marry a wife. And that's why it's written the order. Because first, Vayelech Padan Aram, first Yaakov already left to Padan Aram, and then Yaakov had to go back. So the Torah wants to emphasize that he was again to Be'er Sheva. Therefore, the Torah tells you again, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, that Yaakov now went out of Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harano, now he decides that he has to go to Haran. Up till now, he was going straight to Padan Aram, like he was going to do originally, because since he is a wealthy man, and we said when you're wealthy, you don't have to worry about Parnasa, then you could marry a wife and then learn Torah. But now that he became poor, he has no choice, he has to first learn Torah and then get married. Therefore, he went back to Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. Therefore, it's written two times that he went out. And to emphasize that fact, the Torah is telling you again, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, that Yaakov actually left Be'er Sheva the second time, Vayelech Harana, and he was getting ready to go to Haran. So he left, he came back, and he left. Last week's Parsha on Bereishis, chapter 26, Pasuk number 33, we have the story of Avimelech coming and making a covenant with Yitzchak. There on Pasuk 33 it says, Vayikra oisa Shiva, and it called it Shiva, which Rashi brings down al Sheva Bris, because of the covenant, in other words, swearing, because there, as it's written in Pasuk 31, Vayishavu ish le'achiv, each person swore to the other one that we have a non-aggression agreement, al ken, Shemoir Be'er Sheva, ada yom hazeh. Therefore, the name of that city where they made agreement is called Be'er Sheva until this day. Old Mefarshim asks a question that we see that previously on Parshas Vayera, when Avimelech came to Abraham, there we also had a covenant and also made the name Be'er Sheva. On chapter 21, pasuk number 31, there the pasuk says, Al kein karo lamakom ahu Be'er Shava. Therefore, the place was called Be'er Shava. Kisham nishbeu shneim, because there they both swore together. Then the question is, how come Yitzchak called the place Be'er Shava if it was already called Be'er Shava by Avraham Avinu? There clearly says Avraham Avinu called Be'er Shava because of the swearing, and now Yitzchak called it also Be'er Shava. So the Eben Ezra asks this question also. The Eben Ezra gives two different answers. One, he says, could be Be'er Shava was called because of both covenants, because of the covenant of Yitzchak and because of the covenant of Avraham. When it says the place was called Be'er Shava Ad Hayom Hazeh, until today, doesn't mean only because of Avraham, but also because of Yitzchak. Or the Eben Ezra brings down, maybe Be'er Shava was a different town. That Be'er Shava of Avraham is not the same Be'er Shava of Yitzchak. The Sfarna gives a whole different interpretation on this pasuk, and the Sfarna explains that when the pasuk says Vayikra Oisa Shiva, and it called it Shiva, means from the number 7, that since this was the 7th place where they attempted to dig a Be'er, a well, therefore it called it Shiva. He explains that if you take a look on chapter 26, pasuk number 15, there it says v'chol abe'eros ashachafru avde aviv, that all the wells that the slaves of his fathers dug b'mei Avraham aviv in the days of Avraham, sitmu plishtim de plishtim, filled up with sand. He explains that this minimum plural is 2. So if it would be written v'habe'eros ashachafru avde aviv, and the wells that his slaves of his father dog, that Avraham dog, that would be 2. Vechol and all, that means at least one more. You have to have at least 3 in order to say and all the wells. Because if it's just 2 wells, you just say and the wells. Therefore, there was 3 wells before. And then Yitzchak dog also 3 wells, which is clearly written in the Psukim, which he calls them Esek, Sitna, and Rechoivois. He calls it those 3 names. And now it's written on pasuk number 32 that they found a new well, that was the 7th well. So therefore, in order to remind people that he had 7 wells, he called the place Be'er Sheva because of the 7th well. And the Sfarna continues and says that the name now is called Be'er Sheva with a segol, because Sheva with a segol means 2 things, means a plural of 7 of Shava is Sheva, which means because of the swearing, and also because of the 7th well that they dug. Avol b'mei Avram, but in the times of Avram, he says, Hayosham oir Be'er Shava bekametz, that the name of the place was called Be'er Shava with a kametz, because of the swearing alone. In other words, the time of Avram Avinu was just involved the swearing, that they made a covenant just, therefore it's called Be'er Shava. But now that since this is the 7th well and also the covenant that they made, so therefore it's called Be'er Sheva with a segol. It is very beautiful, this Sefarna, until we get to this first pasuk of this week's Parsha. The first pasuk of this week's Parsha clearly says, Vayetze Yaakov, Yaakov came out mi Be'er Sheva with a kametz. And if I tell you now that from the days of Yitzchak, the name of the place is called Be'er Sheva, then the place should have been called Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, that Yaakov left from Be'er Sheva with a segol and not a kametz. And another question, according to the Sefarna, that says that after the days of Yitzchak, the name of the place was called Be'er Sheva and not Be'er Shava, with a segol and not if a kametz, we see that on chapter 46, pasuk number 5, where Yaakov Avinu is about to go down to Egypt. Before he goes to Egypt, he goes to Be'er Sheva. There it's written, Vayakom Yaakov, Yaakov came, Be'er Sheva, that he actually came from Be'er Sheva, if a kametz. And according to the Sfarna, every time after Yitzchak changing the name to Be'er Sheva, it should be called Be'er Sheva. And yet, there it's also written, Be'er Sheva, with a kametz. Even though in truth, that question is not such a great question, because according to Dikduk, certain times when there is a esnachta, we finish with a comet, and therefore, since it's written here, Vayetze Yaakov Mibeir Shava, and there's a Esnachto below the word Shava, then technically it should be called if a comet. And the same thing all the times in Parshas Vayigash, there are always Asnachtos in the bottom of the word Shava. But nonetheless, we could answer that this is exactly how the Medrash gets their ideas. The Medrash Rabbah on this week's Parsha gives another interpretation why the Pasuk is again telling me that Yaakov Avinu left Be'ir Shava, where it already said before that he went to Padan Aram. Rav Yudin Oimer, mi Be'ero shel Shvua, that Yaakov Avinu was going from Be'ir Shava because he was running away from the well that people swore by. Omar, he says, Shelo yamod alai Avimelech, I'm running away because I don't want Avimelech, the king of Plishtim, to come, ve'yoymar, and he'll say, Hishavali, swear to me, keshem shenishbali zekeinecho, the same way that your grandfather Avraham Avinu swore to me and made a non-aggression treaty for his children and his grandchildren, so too, Yaakov Avinu was afraid that Avimelech is going to come to him and ask to make a non-aggression treaty for his children and his grandchildren. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu decided to run away because Yaakov Avinu did not want to extend the non-aggression agreement with Avimelech, since Yaakov Avinu knew that eventually the Jewish people are going to come back and conquer Eretz Israel. He didn't want that agreement to become an impediment for them for conquering Eretz Israel. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu is going out of Be'er Shava. And according to the Sephora, it's very good because Be'er Shava is referring to the time where it was called Be'er Shava by the agreement with Avraham Avinu did with Avimelech. So Yaakov was going from that agreement. He wasn't going because he's leaving. He was just going away from that agreement. And the proof, according to the Sephora, is because it's written that Yaakov left Be'er Shava and not Be'er Sheva. Because if you would just be leaving town, then it could be written just that Yaakov left Be'er Sheva if a segol. But because it's written that Yaakov left Be'er Shava if a kamet, the Torah wants to tell you that's referring to something that happened in Avraham Avinu's day. And what happened in Avraham Avinu's day? So Rabbi Yudin is telling me that the swearing that Avimelech did with Avraham, that is the reason that Yaakov really went away. And that is what the Torah is hinting by telling me that Yaakov left Be'er Shava with a comet. And the other pasuk that says there on Parshas Vayigash, before Yaakov Avinu went down to Egypt, that he went to Be'er Shava, that he came to Be'er Shava with a comet, Medrash Rabbah 94, Tzadik Dalet, Dalet, there it says, Leichon Holach, why did he go there? Omar Rav Nachman says, Shaholach Lokutz Arozim, Shanota Avraham Zekeno Be'er Shava, that Yaakov came before he went down to Egypt to cut down the cedar woods that his grandfather Avraham Avinu planted in Be'er Shava. As it's written in the Pasuk on chapter 21, Pasuk number 33, there it's written, Vayita Eishel Be'er Shava, that Avraham Avinu planted a Eishel, a tree, in Be'er Shava. And according to this Medrash, the tree that he planted is the trees that eventually are going to be used as Atzei Shittim for the Mishkan, that since Avraham Avinu knew that the Jewish people are going to require to have a Mishkan in order to bring karbanos inside them, in order to have atonement for their sins. And when they build the Mishkan, Avraham Avinu saw that they are going to need to use Atzei Shittim, these huge trees, in order to construct the Mishkan. So Avraham Avinu decided that he is going to plant those trees that eventually they are going to need. So Yaakov Avinu, before he went down to Egypt, he went to cut those trees down and take them down to Egypt. So when the Jewish people leave Egypt, they will have those trees. And that's why he came to Be'er Shava to cut. And according to the Sfarna, that is exactly the reason why it's written Be'er Shava Ifa Kametz and not Be'er Shava Ifa Segel. Because all the Meforshim ask, how does the Medrash get this idea that he came to cut trees? Normally, you could have interpreted, like other Meforshim interpret, that he came to Be'er Shava before he went to Egypt, because that is the same place where Yitzchak wanted to live before Hashem told them, do not leave. So Yaakov wanted to take permission from Hashem before he went down to Egypt to go to Be'er Shava. But then how come the Medrash gets the whole idea that he's coming to cut trees? Where does it get it from? And the answer is because of the Sephorna. Since the Sephorna explains that whenever it's written Shava, is referring to something that happened in the days of Avram, because after Yitzchak, the name is really Be'er Sheva Ifa Segol, and here it's written Be'er Sheva Ifa Kamet. So therefore, the Torah is specifically telling you Be'er Sheva, referring to something that happened in the days of Avram. And what happened in the days of Avram? That Avram planted the trees, Yaakov came to cut it, and eventually the Jewish people take it out in the desert, and they build the Mishkan out of it. My Rosh Hashiva, the Vilna Rav, in his Sefer Ezer Miyuda, brings down that according to Rabbi on Gemara in Shabbos 116a, where it talks about Parshas Bahaloischa, chapter 10, Pasuk number 35 up to 36, where Vahibin Soya Aoroin, where has nuns in both sides, which is almost like parentheses, and Rabbi believes that this is separate Sifrei Torah, that Bamidbar is actually three volumes of the Torah. From beginning of Bamidbar until Vayibin Sora is one Sefer. For Vayibin Sora and the next Pasuk is a separate Sefer. And after that parenthesis is a third Sefer that comes out that Bamidbar itself is three Sifrei Torah. It's considered like three books of Moses. And then we have the other four, which is Bereishis, Vayikra, Shemois, and Dvorim. So you have 3 plus 4. We have 7 Sifrei Torah according to Rabbi. And Rabbi interprets the Pasuk in Mishle number 9, Chotzvo Amodeo Shiva, that wisdom was built to a house on 7 pillars. And this is Shiva Sifrei Torah, 7 Sifrei Torah. So the Vilna Rav explains that when it's written here, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava, that Yaakov left the Be'er Shava, the Be'er of 7, which means that after Yaakov Avinu learned in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever for 14 years, then he was able to leave Be'er Maim Chaim, the well of living water, referring to Torah, which is always called Maim Chaim, living waters. And it means that Yaakov Avinu left the living waters of 7 that are included in the 7 Sifrei Torah, like Rabbi said. Then Vayele Charono, then Yaakov Avinu decided to go to Haran, where the Vilna Rav explains Vayele Charono means the anger of Hashem on him left. The word Charono is not a place, it's Haroin. Anger is called Haroin. Then, because Yaakov Avinu learned for 14 years, Hashem's anger left him, and Hashem was not angry on him. The Ben Ish Chai brings an interesting idea. The Ben Ish Chai explains the numerical value of Yaakov is 182. The Yud is 10, the Ayin is 70, which is 80. The Kaf is 100 and makes it 180. And the Vayis is 182. He explains that 182 is exactly 7 times Yud Kei Vav Kei. Numerical value of Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. So 7 times 26 is exactly 182. And he explains that Yaakov Avinu was able to rectify all the 7 lower Sfirot. Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, all the 7 lower Sfirot Yaakov Avinu was able to rectify. And only after he was able to rectify, that's when he decided, Vayele Charono, that the anger of Hashem left him. That after rectifying the 7 Sfirot, then he could leave and go to Padan Aram. But until he rectified, he could not leave. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should reach the Magrega, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava, that we should feel when a tzaddik leaves town. Unfortunately, this week, the Tzitz Eliezer passed away, and unfortunately, not many people speak about it, and we kind of are in the same category as the time of Avraham Avinu, where Avraham Avinu leaves town, and we don't even feel it. So much so, when the Tzitz Eliezer leaves this world and we don't even feel it. And also, Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all learn Torah, learn the Be'er Shiva, the Torah that is given in 7 books, and like that we'll merit to have Haroin Hashem, the Haroin of Hashem, the anger of Hashem leave, and also according to the Ben Ish Chai, we'll be able to rectify all the seven Sefirot, then we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'meira b'yameinu, Amen.